Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone. Glad to have you hanging out with us today, whether you downloaded the show in your podcast app or if you're listening on the Score, we appreciate it either way. And if you're still spending time with us, that means you probably advanced to the semifinals. So congrats on that. We're going to try to keep that momentum going here. We're going to try to get you into the finals and to help us stay caught up on everything that's happening around the league. And there is a lot going on this week. Got a longtime friend of the show, John Daigle, who is now with 4 for 4. And while the site that he's working for may have changed, his Twitter handle hasn't. He is at NotJDaigle. One of my favorite handles out there. One of my favorite people in the industry. John, welcome back to the show, man. We are so close to the end of the main fantasy season here. How you doing? How you holding up?
So close, yet so far. Basically 3 more games to go for everyone. And as you mentioned at the top, so many moving pieces for week 16. You have incoming and inclement weather. You have team totals and overall totals dipping. This Browns-Saints game, actually, 31.5 point total, that's the lowest since 2007. So the last 15 years, it's an historic game, which is not good for fantasy. Not a good side of history to be on, especially because people have questions about Shaheed's usage. Chris Olave is basically unstartable. Nick Chubb hasn't practiced through Wednesday. And that's just one game. There's so many others to get to. So I hope we can help out people the best we can.
Yeah, I told you before we started, I'm not excited to have any of my fantasy matchups decided by weather, but it really feels like that's going to have a huge impact on things. So we got to start there. I think it's 10 games that are going to have some type of weather impacting them this week. And it ranges from, like you said, the nightmare scenario in Cleveland. We'll talk about that in a second, a little bit more. But, you know, it starts at the other end where it's sort of light rain or cold temperatures, maybe not as big of an impact. So we'll get to the specifics in a moment. But I want you to tell everyone at first, just in general, what moves the needle for you fantasy-wise when it comes to this weather stuff? Because sometimes, and maybe most of the time, I think people overreact to the weather and they don't realize that the bad weather, maybe it ends before kickoff. Maybe it won't be as bad in the area where the stadium is as maybe the forecast is in that city. But this week, it is going to be a problem for a lot of teams, like you said. So what are you looking at when you're looking at, you know, factoring the weather in to rankings and your fantasy decisions?
I only worry about winds of 20 to 25 miles per hour. That's where I start questioning my decision making, especially through the air. But for snow and cold, admittedly, I don't get too concerned. Like, I know it's going to be negative degrees, it should feel like, at Soldier Field right now. I live 2 miles from Soldier Field, actually, for the Bears-Bills game on Saturday morning. And 6 inches of snow as well, which makes it concerning. But more importantly, there are gusts projected for 30 to 50 miles per hour. That makes me worry, let alone the fact that Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis can't even get over 60 yards receiving. Like, that's also worrisome. But right now, yes, I more worry about the win. For instance, the Panthers-Lions game this weekend. I know some are worried about the weather, but I actually kind of like that game because I don't think the weather, like 7 degrees with 13 to 17 mile per hour winds, I don't think any of that actually matters. It's negligent enough to where I still have faith in DJ Moore. I still have faith in Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jamal Williams. And honestly, I also have faith in Sam Darnold. It's a really good spot for him.
It is.
For deeper leagues, for those trying to find a replacement for Jalen Hurts. And I know we'll hit on that since that's pretty much the major topic of the week. But really quickly, like the 17 points the Jets allowed the Panthers allowed, everything runs together now, to the Jets last week doesn't tell the whole story, right? Because like Detroit's defense still allowed 5.5 yards per play and 9 yards per attempt to Zach Wilson last week. And so with the Lions also seeing 37 pass attempts through the air since their bye, since that's the time they haven't allowed anyone over 75 rushing yards and was one of the league's best rushing defense, I think we're going to get Sam Darnold in some volume, and people may be scared for weather, whereas I think it's still a great matchup for him through the air, for as great as a Sam Darnold matchup can be. So, yeah, I don't really worry about the cold, to be honest. I think we make, as you mentioned, more bad decisions based on weather than good.
And I'll say, too, We've had Chris Allen on a bunch of times,
including who knows much more than either of us on this situation.
Absolutely. I mean, he's talked about the weather. I think last season we did sort of a full weather episode with him, kind of going over how he approaches it. And he does, I mean, it's just such good work, right? He goes so deep on it. He looks at specific stadiums and how, you know, winds and things can, you know, affect different games depending on the direction of the wind and how the stadium is built. There's so much stuff that he looks at there. I also look to Kevin Roth, his work. He's a meteorologist. He does stuff for RotoGrinders. He puts out a nice breakdown every single week. And Matt FF Dynasty on Twitter, he works for Fantasy Football Astronauts. He's done a really good job of summarizing weather situations. He puts out a thread every week during the season that kind of summarizes all the important ones there. So like anything, you know, we do the same with injury analysts, right? You want to find people who are the most well-versed and the most accurate. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time to figure out who those people are. But then you want to make sure you're reading their content. And then you're formulating your own opinion based on the consensus, based on your experience, your knowledge as well. You want to put that into it. And I feel like those three deserve a shout out for the work that they've done with the weather stuff this year. And I think everybody should be following them. I think that's really important. So I wanted to say that. And then, I mean, you already started hitting on specific games, but, you know, how are you approaching all these different bad weather games? I mean, if you want to mention other ones, you talked about that game in Cleveland, the Saints and the Browns, and that one just looks like it is going to be so awful. You know, go through if there's a couple. I mean, which ones are you most worried about? You can touch on the ones you already hit on, but if you want to hit on some others, go for it. I mean, let us know which games have you most concerned.
I am obviously most worried about Saints-Browns for weather, yes, but also because these are two offenses we don't want to play. The last three games since Deshaun Watson took over, the Browns are averaging 1.7 touchdowns per game, which is as many as the Broncos and Cardinals. That's how bad this Browns offense has been. Not to mention the fact that Nick Chubb hasn't practiced as of Tuesday or Wednesday. So Kareem Hunt, yes, in five career starts, has averaged 18.5 touches in place of Nick Chubb. And it probably will be more in this game, given that they've healthy scratched D'Ernest Johnson willingly throughout the year. They don't want him playing. And so even though it might be a lot of touches for Kareem Hunt, just, again, the 31.5 point total, the Saints have the lowest team total at 14.5 points on the week. And that also then spins me to the Chris Olave portion, because Chris Olave has been a top 36 receiver, a wide receiver 3, in just one of his last seven games. Rashid Shaheed ran more routes than him this last week and has outsnapped him the last 2 weeks. So you can't even say Olave in the lowest total of the week from Andy Dalton is actually the team's number one receiver. So I can't even recommend him as like a flex option. I've had decisions where I have to go like Marquise Goodwin or Olave, and I'm actually going Marquise Goodwin because I trust him more right now.
Well, so, there's a hamstring issue with Olave too,
that
right?
That too, yes.
Yeah, he missed practice on Tuesday.
Which actually makes it easier for us.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a chance that he could be out this game. We'll see. These hamstring injuries for receivers, they're definitely a problem. Sometimes keep guys out for a game or two. So that's one that we're definitely going to have to be watching. And I'll let you keep going here on the weather stuff, but I'll also mention, John, that the main slate is on Saturday this week. So if people are looking at it and saying, oh, Nick Chubb, he missed practice Tuesday, Wednesday, who cares? It's early in the week. No, everything is bumped up by a day here. So we got to make sure that we're watching all these injury reports already this early in the week to see if these guys are going to be available for week 16 or not. But I'll let you keep going. I felt like that was important to interject with.
Of course. And I am still trusting, that's the word I probably shouldn't use, but I'm trusting Alvin Kamara as much as I can. Just the fact that he handled 23 of 27 backfield touches, 85% share of the team's backfield touches last week. I understand David Johnson ran one more route, but the fact is they're still hammering Kamara with touches here. The Browns are a run funnel defense, so I will trust him in this matchup, but that's basically it for the Saints, honestly. And if given the choice, I'm definitely starting Taysom Hill over Juwan Johnson, because you can't even come up with a good metric to support Juwan Johnson except for the fact he's scoring touchdowns, and the Saints aren't projected to score touchdowns this game. So I would imagine Taysom Hill, given the weather and game script, it's probably a double-digit carry game for him. And then, of course, as I already mentioned, the Bills and the Bears. I'm not worried about Justin Fields. I do think he's a top 6, top 7 quarterback. And the fact he even openly discussed with the media the single-season quarterback rushing record, which he's just over 200 yards shy of. It seems like he's chasing that, and the Bears are aware that's what he's going for. So Justin Fields and a shaky quarterback week still offers a tremendously high floor against a Bills defense that just on Saturday allowed 7 carries of 10-plus yards to the Dolphins. So I bet we get some explosive carries for Justin Fields in this matchup. Gabe Davis was already matchup-dependent anyhow, and given that the Bills team total has sunk over a field goal, that total overall now sits at 40.5, one of the lowest of the week as well. So we're not too worried about Gabe Davis in this one. And then finally, again, Panthers-Lions, I have much more confidence about, as well as Jets, Jaguars. We talk about Jalen Hurts replacements, and I do think even in rainy weather that Zach Wilson, albeit only for two quarterback and superflex leagues, is just a fine option considering the Jaguars have given up a top 12 quarterback finish in 6 consecutive games, have also allowed the 4th most points in the league, 28, and 282 passing yards per game since week 9 as just a very poor defense. So that's kind of where I'm at with these games right now. I'm trusting Zonovan Knight in a rainy weather. Knight, who actually his share of backfield touches increased last week despite being injured around Michael Carter. I think they don't want to give practically anything to Michael Carter. I bet we see a ton of usage for Zonovan Knight in this matchup. So that's where I'm at right now with these games. Apologies for the monologue.
No, I think it's good. You hit the main ones. You always give so much information in there. I'll throw out just some of the other ones we're watching. I mean, Houston and Tennessee, that's one. Seattle and the Chiefs, that's another. Bengals-Patriots. You mentioned Lions-Panthers, Falcons and Ravens, just because I want to go through and make sure we have this on everybody's radar. Raiders-Steelers. And Packers-Dolphins, that would be another one. So we'll see if that, you know, the forecast change at all over the next couple of days. That's why I don't tend to overreact really early in the week unless we get a forecast like we have for that Browns game. But normally I start to factor that in more for my Thursday rankings. And then definitely when we get to the weekend and I'll do an update on Saturday morning, I'll make sure that I have all the latest information in there. Now, one game that isn't on the weather list, we got Eagles and Cowboys, and this was shaping up to be an epic matchup. You know, some shine has been taken off it just because Hurts and the shoulder injury, and he's likely to miss this game. So it's going to be Minshew getting the nod for Philly. Do you think that he's the best option for fantasy managers, too, who are going to have to find a replacement for Hurts? Or do you have somebody else in mind there? Who do you think the best, you know, quarterback pickup for fantasy managers is, for fantasy managers who've probably been dominating in their leagues with Jalen Hurts in their lineup, and now all of a sudden they got to find a replacement in the fantasy semifinals?
I do think Daniel Jones and Aaron Rodgers in that order are the best replacements here, but they're only available in shallow leagues. And I know they're in enough leagues because I've had, you know, start sit questions with them. In most leagues, they're not readily available. And if that's the case, I think Minshew is a fine replacement. Trevor Lawrence, a top 5 quarterback last week against the Cowboys. And although that's Trevor Lawrence, the number 1 overall pick previously in the draft, I think we can look to the Cowboys just suffering an injury cluster right now. Safety Jayron Kurtz out. Middle linebacker Leighton Vander Esch likely out for the season. Nose tackle Jonathan Hankins out. And the Cowboys are still going to be missing 2 of their top 3 cornerbacks, Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis, in this matchup against the Eagles. So now we have Gardner Minshew coming in, and I understand the line moved from 1.5-point dogs for the Eagles to 6 points, but I think it's one of the worst market overreactions I can recall in the last 5 years, because I would argue the Eagles are the better team. And so I do have confidence in Gardner Minshew leading this offense. Eagles team total also over 20 points, which I understand isn't a lot, but it's a lot for week 16. So I have confidence in Minshew, but I would still personally, and it's very close, and as I always say with these decisions, like I know some people have decisions like Joe Burrow or Justin Fields, for example. And just what I always tell people is life is too short to sit there and get anxiety about a fractional point difference. You're never going to figure it out. I look at every stat possible and I'm never going to figure it out. So make your choice, because it's not going to matter. And so I think the difference between Gardner Minshew and Brock Purdy is probably a negligent decision to sit on. But I will say, Some people think the Commanders' defense has suddenly improved, but I will just tell you to look at the matchups the last 2 months, and they've played Daniel Jones in back-to-back games, so two division games, a familiar opponent, Marcus Mariota, who was benched, Davis Mills, who was benched at one point, and Sam Ehlinger, who was benched. Whereas, like, they're only two tough tests in the last 2 months against Jalen Hurts and Kirk Cousins. Both of them finished as top 12 quarterbacks against Washington. And then, of course, I think personally, and do not hold this to be a blueprint or a testament, but I personally think Jalen Hurts will also miss Week 17. I think he's going to be out two games at the very least. We may not see him again to the playoffs. And if that's the case, and you get by with Brock Purdy, then you suddenly have the Raiders in Week 17 as well for Purdy, who, of course, allowed 17 points per game to opposing quarterbacks until they ran to Mac Jones, who isn't an NFL quarterback. I don't care what Mac Jones did against them.
Ouch.
So overall, I would pick Brock Purdy, but again, we're splitting hairs here.
And then if we look specifically at Minshew and that Eagles offense, I mean, you broke him down well. You know, he's got a little bit of rushing ability, but the Eagles, they're not going to use him the way they use Hurts, right? They're not going to have as many designed runs, so the offense will change a little bit there. How do you think him starting will impact some of those fantasy weapons like A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert, who's expected back this week, and even Miles Sanders, who they didn't use as much as they should have last week, which might have contributed to the Hurts injury? And then you have Nick Sirianni come out early this week and say that that was a mistake and that he needs to get more touches for Sanders, which doesn't help my fantasy team that lost last week by 3 points and Sanders only scored 0.4. But I promise, John, I'm not bitter about that at all. We don't need to talk about that. But regardless, tell us how you think that, you know, Minshew starting will impact some of those Eagles skill position guys for fantasy.
I also had Miles Sanders and DFS, and he was the one person that held me back because I played my cards correctly everywhere else. So yeah,
I know we're not the only ones, but yeah, it still hurts.
I'm not bitter either. but no, we've already seen this matchup last year, a meaningless Week 18 game where Gardner Minshew stepped in, and we saw he had rapport with Dallas Goedert, who's going to return this week, 6 targets, 6 catches, so 100% catch rate for over 100 yards and a touchdown, and that was a game without A.J. Brown. And they basically schemed targets to A.J. Brown. NFL Next Gen Stats charted A.J. Brown with 143 of his career high in receiving yards this past week against the Bears against single high coverage. Basically saying the read for any quarterback under center is if you recognize pre-snap that there's only one safety over A.J. Brown and he's in man coverage on the boundary, you go to him. You give him the 50-50 ball and see what happens. So I think we're going to get some deep shots from Gardner Minshew. I think he's a competent enough quarterback to handle RPOs and play calls inside the red zone, inside the 10-yard line as well. And so I think Minshew is just fine, honestly. I'm very worried about this Cowboys team. Dak Prescott with 9 interceptions over the last 6 weeks. The Eagles lead the league in interceptions. So I actually, in my head, I foresee game script going favorably for the Eagles, leaning on Miles Sanders a little more, creating turnovers, as I just mentioned. So, yeah, I do think everyone, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, maybe we decrease their ceiling outlooks in this game. But overall, like, I still think A.J. Brown is a fringe wide receiver one. I still consider Devontae Smith as a low-end wide receiver two. I'm still starting in them in this game.
All right, quick one that I added here this morning because it seems like Ryan Tannehill's trending towards not playing this week now. Tom Pelissero, he reported yesterday that Tannehill's facing an uphill battle to play this week because of that ankle injury. So that puts Malik Willis in line to start again. He's going to go up against the Texans. And then we found out today that the Colts are making another quarterback change and that this time it's going to be Nick Foles getting the nod. He's going against the Chargers. And then right before we started recording, the Cardinals ruled out Colt McCoy. So Trace McSorley is in line to start for Arizona. Now, all three guys have their flaws, obviously. So I will ask it like this. Which offense do you have the most hope for this week? The Titans with Willis under center, the Colts with Foles, or, and I doubt it's going to be this one, but the Cardinals with McSorley?
Sadly, it would be the Colts because as everyone projected the Chargers to blow out the Titans last week because the Titans were missing 7 starters on defense, we've seen that the Chargers just aren't capable of doing that in NFL games. The Chargers will forever and perpetually play wacky games, and they're indoors. They are only 3.5-point favorites, so even Vegas doesn't think like they're going to blow out the Colts. And it's still the Chargers who are allowing a league-high 5.4 yards per carry per game. So I do think that the Colts as a run-heavy team, and now with a competent quarterback who will throw downfield. Like, we know even if Nick Foles doesn't go downfield a lot, it's going to be better than Matt Ryan's league-low rate of 20-plus yard throws. And so suddenly, Alec Pierce is live if you're very desperate in deeper 12-team leagues. Michael Pittman maybe has a little more upside, even though he still leads the league in slant and hitch routes. And so, yeah, I do have more confidence in the Colts offense than anything, especially indoors with all this weather. Malik Willis, there's just absolutely no way I can get around to him. Remember his two starts earlier this year, a 42% completion rate, total, not average, totaled 135 passing yards with a pick, no touchdowns, and six sacks. Miserable. Not to mention this Titans offense, which is lost, by the way, four games in a row, they've averaged 15.5 points in this four-game span. Well, you have no confidence in the Titans, even though Derrick Henry, as we infamously know, has rushed for over 200 yards in four consecutive games against the Titans. I actually consider the Texans live dogs because they're not going away. They're still fighting for Lovie Smith. 3 weeks ago, no offensive touchdowns allowed to the Browns despite losing by two scores. And then we've seen the last two games, just a four-point loss to the Cowboys and 6 points loss to the Chiefs. They're playing great, actually, and better than the Titans right now. And then, of course, Trace McSorley. We don't trust this Cardinals offense from Colt McCoy, let alone from McSorley. Marquise Brown, I actually think we're at the point where he's droppable in the playoffs. Almost like a bait drop, right? Like, we want to drop Deontay Foreman, hoping our opponents play him against us, against the Lions. Like, I also think we could drop Marquise Brown, thinking something's good going to come of it from the quarterback change.
All right, and then before we get to the rapid-fire section, I'm curious. I normally ask this question every week for our weekly preview shows. Is there a player who you think is being overlooked or underrated in fantasy for week 16? And you can approach it from any direction. Just consider it your chance to shine the spotlight on somebody who you think deserves more love this week.
I think Chris Moore is a wide receiver too this week. I know the results weren't there this past game against the Chiefs, four catches for 42 yards, but still a team-high 32% target share. He's accounted for 36% of the Texans' targets the past two games without Brandon Cook, so I don't expect a return at any point this year, and Nico Collins, who as of Wednesday has yet to practice in 2.5 weeks. So we're not expecting Nico Collins to play this game, maybe even the rest of the season. Also in this time, the past 2 weeks, Chris Moore has accounted for 49% of Houston's receiving yards and 44% of those air yards. And now he gets a matchup that you couldn't project better for him for. The Titans are allowing league highs in yards per target and yards per game to opposing receivers from the boundary, where Moore has run 69% of his routes the last two games. So I'm all in on Chris Moore in redraft and DFS this week.
Yeah, it's a really good call. All right, we'll finish it off here with the rapid fire questions. We're doing teammate toss-ups again, so short answers only. You can give a little context. I mean, most people do. Some people turn it into a dissertation. We'll try to keep it tight, though. So who would you rather play in fantasy in week 16? And we will start with Zach Moss or Deion Jackson. A lot of people have to make that decision this week.
This has to be a dissertation because there's a lot of context.
All right, we'll allow it.
Just this one. I understand if you asked me who is the best Colts running back, I would say Deion Jackson. But my job, our job, is not to say who is the best player. It is what are the coaches going to do? What is this offense going to do? And with Jeff Saturday being one of the league's worst coaches, I am going to say he's going to go with the worst player and Zach Moss. Not only that, but it's exactly what we saw against the Vikings. Zach Moss out-snapped, out-touched 24-14, and most important, just in case we are projecting for negative game script, Moss ran more routes than Deion Jackson in that game as well. And I already mentioned, I think it's going to be a tighter game, Vegas thinks so as well, than perceived against the Chargers, given the current line. And as we mentioned, Chargers league high yards per carry allowed. So I do like Zach Moss significantly over Deion Jackson for better or worse.
I'll follow it up with this real quick. Do you think either of them are going to be good starts for fantasy, though? Do you think Zach Moss is actually... No, right? Like, they're more RB3 flex and maybe a hope a guy finds the end zone, sort of like Deion Jackson did last week, right?
I would start Moss over Tyler Algier, for example, if that's your option. But the fringe players like Zonovan Knight, Rashad White, I would still start over Zach Moss.
All right, we'll keep going with the teammate toss-ups here. Jerick McKinnon, who has been absolutely on fire, or Isaiah Pacheco?
The fact McKinnon out-touched Isaiah Pacheco this game suggest a role change. McKinnon also, as I tell people, the overall RB1 the past 2 weeks, imagine sitting that. So you have to start him.
Mike Williams or Keenan Allen on the Chargers?
Take the higher floor in Keenan Allen, because we see that if the Chargers fail, Mike Williams is prone to failing as well.
One that wouldn't have been that close a few weeks ago, but is a lot closer now. Christian Kirk or Zay Jones?
The matchup for the Jaguars entails a better one for Christian Kirk, given that DJ Reed, Sauce Gardner, they are going to be on the outside where Zay Jones runs a majority of his routes. So I know it's tough with Zay coming off of a 3-touchdown, 100-yard game, but I think Christian Kirk is the better play.
Deontay Johnson or George Pickens?
It's actually George Pickens, because we've seen now Deontay Johnson has averaged 15.5 fantasy points from Mitch Trubisky and only 9.3 fantasy points from Kenny Pickett, who can't get him, let alone anyone, the ball. So it's George Pickens for me.
Little deeper down here, but Curtis Samuel or Jahan Dotson?
Given their usage, it's Jahan Dotson, but honestly, I don't necessarily trust Jahan Dotson. Like, he's only caught 23 receptions all year, and 43% of his fantasy points have been due to touchdowns. Not to mention that Taylor Heinicke has failed to reach 30 pass attempts in 5 of his last 6 games, the outlier being the time he got to play 70 minutes into a tie against the Giants. So Jahan Dotson doesn't have the volume. The offense doesn't have the volume. And we still expect Terry McLaurin to lead this team in targets every single week. But if you want to point to a pro in deeper leagues, at least you can say Jahan Dotson has seen 21% of the team's targets the past 2 games.
And then finally here, since our last show before the holidays, Mr. Daigle, what is your favorite holiday movie?
Die Hard, I think, is the go-to.
Love
because
it
shuts off my brain and I don't have to... I don't have to think about much, but Elf is admittedly a good one for the family and still really fun for adults.
Yeah, Elf is an outstanding rewatch. I think for me, I got to go with Christmas Vacation. My family, they used to make us watch it every single year around the holidays, and I could probably do like a one-man show. I could probably perform the whole thing at this point. I know it so well, but based on that, I guess I'll say Christmas Vacation. I still try to watch it if I can, but haven't made it to the family viewing most years recently, but try to watch it every year. Definitely one. Maybe it's The Chalk, but I know a lot of people like that one as well. I'm going to call it there. That is all for today's show. Make sure you're following John on Twitter at NotJDaigle. You should be checking out all his content over at 444.com as well, including his weekly waiver wire column, which he used to put out after mine each week. Now I think he beats me to the punch by a couple hours on Mondays.
Not my decision, because Mondays are hard, as you know.
Well, next year, I think I'm going to have to like push it to like Sunday night or something. I got to get the edge again. I'm always competitive with everything. But in all seriousness, John, you've been super gracious with your time over the last few years. You always jump on during the season. I appreciate that so much. And I love talking football with you. So thank you for coming on yet again. And before we let you go, is there anything that you're working on? Anything else maybe that we haven't mentioned that you want to direct people towards?
As you mentioned already, the waiver wire column up. And then for more takes, if you like me making podcasts longer, as I tend to do whenever I sit down with Justin once a year, The Most Accurate Podcast. Type that into your podcast feed, The Most Accurate Podcast. And the show we do, it's about to move to 2 times per week, but right now it's still 5 episodes per week, is available for everyone.
Awesome. Well, good luck the rest of the season, dude. As for me, all of the Week 16 rankings updated, and that'll be published on Thursday afternoon. Lots of injury updates that we're tracking on top of all that weather stuff, so should be plenty of changes coming there the next few days. But until then, big thanks one more time to John. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me.